It's the 25th of October, 2001, and I'm at George Savile's house in Wharton Abbey. The place is called Wharton Gardens, and from its name you can guess that it's on part of the old Royal Gunpowder Factory site. And George is going to tell us something about his early times in the Royal Gunpowder Mills. Well, George, how were you recruited? How did you get to know about the job and that? How did you come and where did you go to school and things like that?
I was born in Wharton Abbey, here in Lee Road. I went to the Wharton Abbey schools with all my family. I then was called up in January 1942 into the army, and I came out. My father worked in here. Well, I'll go back. My father left school at 14 on a Friday, and he started night work in here on the Monday night. All that years ago.
He was only about 14 then, wasn't he?
He was 14 a day. 14, he left school on a Friday, and he started night work in here on the Monday. And very quick. He worked in here for a good few years until he became 18. On the day he was 18, he was thrown out, along with six more of his schoolmates, because they could have claimed men's wages then. Okay. He then done various jobs outside, nursery work, building roads, etc. In 1935, they were getting more employees in here, so he came back into the factory. He stayed in here during... No, sorry. He came... He got called back in 1914 because of the Great War started, because of his experience for working here. He then had a row with his foreman and told him what to do with his job and went and joined the army along with his four other brothers. At the end of the war, he then went on to various jobs like nursery work and roadways and things like that. In 1935, he was told that they wanted ex-workers in here again to carry on working. So he came in here in about 1935 until he retired for real health.
What job did he do actually?
He'd done various jobs. He was a hillman at one time.
Oh, yeah.
He also worked as a plumber's mate with that chap we spoke to at the...
Avis.
He done post work. He looked after the fires in number 9. You should go and do those and deliver posts.
Of course, they had to be stoked up with coal and all that.
It had to be stoked up by coal. As he got older, so he got these sort of jobs. He finished up as a plumber's mate. And then he went out through ill health somewhere in about 1954.
Mm-hmm.
I left the army in September 1952 and came into the factory here and was put into stores because I'd been doing quartermaster work in the army. I then had about 12 years in the central stores.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was where the library is now. They had a three-storey building there. I then saw there was a job coming available as a water
that
organ.
Was that building had an old wooden staircase that used to
that's
be
That's right,
you're
yeah.
You're on the top floor.
Yeah, and that's on top floor in the radio and electronics and NC items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I then got this job as a water warden, which meant I gave up my stores work, and I became a water warden and used to do pest control work.
What's the water warden's job then?
The water warden's work then days was looking after all the rivers in the area. We had a series of gates throughout North Side, which we took up in sequence. Newton's Pool Gate was number 1 and number 2. The two gates behind the Abbey Church was 3 and 4. There was an odd one right up at the NG was 5. And then the others, number 6 was by the Red House or Waterways Cottage, where Ron Kerr used to live. And then 7 and 8 was two big sluice gates on the western boundary fence, which was the main river through the estate, through this establishment. We took those up in sequence as we get called.
What did the gates look like? The gates looked like a...
The two gates at Newton's Pool were what they called pin gates. They had two gates slotted in, worked on ratchets on the side. You put a big heavy iron pin, which weighed about 30 pounds, with a point at one end and a big knob at the other. Along the top of the gate, there was a big roll, about probably 8 or 9 inches in diameter, and stretched right way across the gate. That had a series of holes in it, so you put the pin in one gate and levered it down, and the gate came up half an inch.
Oh, that sort of capstan sort of...
Yeah, thing. No, yeah, yeah, you put the pin in and pulled it down. Yeah. And then, if you looked on the other side of the pin, the hole came there. So you pulled the pin out, put it in that one, and levered that down.
Oh, yes.
Another half inch up, pulled the pin out, there was another one, then come... There was a series of holes round, alternative to those on that side. That then lifted the gate right up. And it got two ratchets that held it in place on either side. They were pin gates. The two gates behind the Abbey Church had to be taken up by a big handle, like a mangle handle. And the two big gates, main gates, on the western boundary, on what we used to call Edmondsey Weir, were handle gates as well. Just took them up like a big mangle. They took 285 turns on the gate, and when you lifted them up, you were knackered. I'll be honest, especially if it was pouring with rain, you were sweating inside, you were sweating outside, and you got very wet. It always seemed strange to me that gates wanted to go up at night time. Because we worked 24-hour shift, from 8 in the morning to 8 the next day. We used to get...
We just have a little cat nap and that in between.
If you could, yeah.
Yes.
We used to get a phone call from the police about 5 miles upstream across the whole of the River Lee system. There was a place called King's Weir. They had... I think it was 14 gates stretched across the river. Mm-hmm. The weir keeper lived on the weir, and whenever he raised or lowered a gate, he immediately phoned our police with the message that King's Weir have either taken up or lowered X number of gates. Mm-hmm. Immediately the police, MOD police, would look on the list to see who was on duty, either myself or in my case, Ron Kerr. Immediately you'd get a phone call, day or night, it didn't matter when it was, and you'd just get a message, King's Weir taken up or lowered so many gates. Mm-hmm. Then you would have to go out then and see to your gates. But once you'd taken the gates up on north side, you then had to cycle all through the factory, unlocking and make sure you locked up the three gates behind you. One at 8:16, mm-hmm. One at Refinery Gate on the Sandhurst side of the road, and one on the other side of the road. Then you cycle down to the big weir, what we call Lower
Island.
These
gates would be, not water gates, ordinary access gates.
They were ordinary access gates yes, to and from, yes, through the site. Then you had to go then down to Lower Island and take up your gates there. There you had two what we call board gates. You had a double set of boards across one section of the river system there, which you took up in sequence. And then once you'd taken them up, you then had four big gates to get up. Mm-hmm. Two of those were pin gates, the same as they were at Newton's Pool, and the other two were handle gates, where again you wound those up, and they were about 250 turns on the gate to get them up, so you were knackered.
And that would be this with the hand wheel?
Yeah, like a big iron hat. I've still got mine out the back now. That was how you were taking the gates up. And then you had to wait. Then, because the water came through, when you took the gates up on the north side, the water then was in your, what we call the pound level, and then you had to get it rid of it downstream. I done that right up until I really retired, until they built the flood channel. They built, started building the flood channel at the rear of the Royal Small Arms.
So really, the job then was not so much keeping the levels for transport, because that would be a research place and it wouldn't be much water transport taking place inside.
No, there's no water transport. This was to maintain
the sort of valley, levels of flooding. In the valley, stop flooding.
Old days, a water warden was a very special man. Again, there was two of them. I knew them from childhood because they were friends of my father's. They were very smart men. They used to wear corduroys, highly polished boots and highly polished gaiters most of the day when they were cycling around the site. Because in those days their job was to keep the water levels so that materials and men could be transported throughout north and south.
It's very critical to keep the water.
Very critical, because there was only shallow streams. I mean, there was. My father used to say that you could stand where the roundabout is on north side and see seven rivers from there. They've all, of course, been filled, although some have been dug out now. Of course, that work then was, to say, very important. But when I and Ron Kerr was on the job, it was basically to stop flooding, which of course meant, you know, day and night work. It could be dangerous because there was very little lights about the place. There was often no lights above the weirs itself, and all you had to rely on was your front cycle lamp. Today, this place would get taken to the cleaners for public health and safety. They would get shot rotten. In around about 1970, they decided they would build the flood channel, which, as I say, started. The contract, which involved our area, started from behind the Royal Small Arms and finished at Fisher's Green. Actually, I've got all the brochure upstairs, what they presented me with by the people there. Then, because of all the help we had to give them, we had to keep the levels of the water right for them. If they wanted less water, we had to get rid of it. If they wanted more water, if you get a wet period like you've got now, you'd have to warn them to make sure their dumpers were out of the river, otherwise they could have been flooded out. Or all their tools could have been just submerged. You had to keep your eye on them very much, and I used to enjoy spending my time cycling from the Royal Small Arms right up to Newton's, right up to Fisher's Green, because they worked in various blocks. I watched them build all that flood channel. They started at Fisher's Green. A crane dug a hole. They built a dredger plant there, and then says, right, now dig yourself a river. And it dug itself a river. It had a big screw on the front, like a screwdriver, and it just sucked all the sand, the ballast, and then it just pumped it all out on the side of the, mostly on in the north side, especially around the NG area. All that area there was more or less levelled out with all the stuff from the river. And where the river used to be a very twisty river, it was then just basically levelled and straightened, so they backfilled some parts and dredged new ways, especially north side, and right the way down the river.
There was, on the new channel, there were one or two mills along there, weren't there, that were demolished?
There was some on north side, they were burnt out before... Shortly before the contract
was
moved.
Were they old gunpowder mills? I can't
remember. No, they were mostly what were they, drying houses on
oh,
the
yes,
side?
Yes.
You know, you had the round building with the wall trebles
oh, yes,
around the side.
Stoves.
Stoves, right.
Yes.
And they were just burnt out and like a lot
no
more.
No trace of them remains today, I suppose.
No, except you can see, if you go up the flood channel, one or two places where possibly it's where the boats were unloaded.
Yes.
You just see a bit of concrete where the base is still
oh,
left there.
Yeah.
That's all. I know where they are myself, yeah. But it's a bit awkward. If you go round, walk round the western boundary, you can see one or two bases
yeah.
of the building still there now.
Mm.
But as I say, we had to work continuously, more or less, with the contractors.
Yeah.
And then when he finished, I got called to their offices in Crossbrook Street, and I was, you know, thanked very much for all the work I'd given the blokes, or the firm.
What was this, you said you had some, called it brochure or something, some sort of a...
Yeah, it was a brochure of all the contract and the price of all the different parts that were built.
Oh, I see, yes.
Put it down one of these days and
oh, yeah.
I'll show it to you. And they present you with that.
Yes,
that's
as
good, a yes. bit of a thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you can let me see. Well, perhaps we'll make a copy of that, put it in the archives or something.
Yes, yeah. There aren't many of them about, aren't there now?
Mm.
We also used to have to do, well, I'll mean that. I used to do pest control work.
Oh, yes.
Which meant covering anything from rescuing lost pigeons. Dealing with swarms of bees, rats, mice, wasp nests, you name it, we dealt with it.
Yeah.
Injured animals, injured birds.
Oh,
I've got birds out of birds, cats out of trees, I've had dogs, cats out of rivers.
Yes.
You never know what you've got.
No.